Welcome to the Nurse Shark Academy Show, a Baxter Professional Services production. Welcome to the Nurse Shark Academy Show, where we're experts in nursing and experts in business. I'm Tina Baxter, your host. The Nurse Shark Academy Show highlights nurse business owners and others in the healthcare field who promote entrepreneurship. We interview nurse leaders and encourage them to tell their story. Today's guest is Patty Marzukiewicz. And today's episode, how one nurse who followed in her mother's footsteps fell in love with nursing. Tired of feeling trapped in a job that no longer fulfills you? Is your nursing job no longer the fun-filled adventure you imagined? Find your passion again through nurse entrepreneurship. Step out into the light and come feel the sun. Join the Nurse Shark Academy today at thenurseshark.biz and come feel the sun. Hi, and welcome to the Nurse Shark Academy Show. I'm Tina Baxter, your host. The Nurse Shark Academy Show interviews nurse business owners and invites them to tell their story. Today's guest is Patty Marzukiewicz. She is with Angel Nurse Consulting. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and please, Patty, tell me a little bit about yourself. And as always, the first question is, how did you become a nurse?
Sure. So my name is Patty Marzukiewicz. You did a great job pronouncing my name. That's always a struggle right to begin with. It doesn't sound anything like it looks. So you did a great job on that. I'm out of Billings, Montana. I'm from Montana, small town in the middle of Montana. So Billings is the biggest city in Montana, but it's pretty small compared to where you're from. And probably most of your listeners, Montana's pretty rural. And so that's where I'm at. I got into nursing. I didn't ever really think I would be a nurse. My mom was a nurse for over 40 years. She was an emergency room nurse in that same small town. And I remember as a little girl watching her get ready for work, starching and ironing her nurse's hat and getting her uniform on. And I just remember she was always so proud of her career as a nurse. And I just those were really special moments. I just really, I was proud of her too. And I guess it was just a given. For some reason, people, friends, family would just assume that I was going to follow in her footsteps. And I don't know why. She never really mentioned it. Not that I remember anyway. It's other people. Are you going to be a nurse like your mom? And I always kind of took offense to it. It's like, no, I'm not going to. And I just didn't understand why people were asking me that. And I was raised on a ranch. And so I always thought I would just be a rancher. I was a farm girl and I really loved living out in the country. You know, we had lots of animals and did manual labor. I just really loved being outside. It was just a beautiful area, mountains and lots of wildlife. And it was just a beautiful place. And that's where I thought I would be. But it didn't turn out that way. And so when it came time to, you know, you grow up and you have to make that decision, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I took some tests and they appointed me in the nursing direction. But I really didn't want to, you know, as I got older and my mom got older, I'd see her come home from work and she would be tired and kind of grumpy. And I'd be like, I don't want anything to do with that type of career. But I just couldn't find anything else I wanted to try. And so I kind of jumped into it. Hopefully I would like it. I just didn't know if I like it. And so I kind of did a jump of faith into college and ended up loving it. So that I was lucky. It's like I came out of school and I went to that same hospital as my mom was. We actually worked together for a while before she retired. And I just loved it. So that was very fortunate. And the hospital, just to give you a little background too, very small. at that time, it was before critical nursing or critical hospitals, critical care hospitals were in place. So at that time, you know, we maybe had 30, 35 beds, acute care, and then we had an ICU that had like 6 or 7, an OB department that would take maybe 5. We had a 2 ORs, and then we had an attached nursing home. So that's where I, it was single staffed. So it would just be mainly one nurse in each department. If we got overly busy, another nurse would float to those departments. And so in my nursing career that I was there for, a little over 20 years or so, I did orient to each of those departments. And I really loved the emergency room, and I really loved OB also, as well as ICU and CCU. I really loved the learning about the heart, and I just really loved learning. I was always wanting just to learn more. I was never satisfied just, you know, being comfortable apparently in one place. It's like once I got comfortable with it, then it's like, okay, now what else can I learn? I need to move on and do something else. So at that point, you know, my kids had graduated from high school. And so I was going to look for another job somewhere else. And I couldn't get a job. I only had my associate's degree. And I really thought that I could easily get a job just with all my experience. And that wasn't the case. That was back in probably 2010, 2011, and the requirements at that time were that you had to have a bachelor's degree. And because I didn't have my bachelor's degree, I really struggled to find a job. That was very surprising to me at that time. I thought I'd easily find a job, and that just was not the case. I did get lucky, and I got a traveling nurse stint in Arizona, so I went there. And then I came back, and I decided, okay, well, I guess I'm going to just have to go back to college. So I did that, but I didn't go into nursing. I decided if I'm gonna go back to college, I'll just go in a different field. So that was what I did. And that was probably one of the harder things I've ever done in my life. I was so overwhelmed and so out of practice of, you know, going into learning how to do things. I prepared myself a little bit. I went to some adult ed classes just to learn how to learn again. And I think that helped, but even going to those classes was so overwhelming. I had to learn how to type, but you know, using the keyboard. We did all handwriting at my hospital. We weren't electronic. We were just changing into electronic health records at that time. So we probably had a year of that before I left. And so I was not a typist at all. And so just learning how to type and do schooling was really a struggle for me to do that, but it was very rewarding. I got my confidence back. I learned how to do research and just learn different things. And so I got my bachelor's in psychology. You can't really do anything with that, and so I had to keep moving on. And so I got remarried and moved to Billings. So then there was a grad program in Billings here. And I went to school. I did nursing jobs to get me through school. So I was always doing nursing. I traveled, you know, in the summer times, or I'd work in between quarters and semesters as a nurse. And so I was always in nursing, and I was having a hard time giving it up, to tell you the truth. I missed it. I missed my fellow nurses back home. You know, that was just my family for a long time. And I had a hard time transitioning from the nursing brain and all of that lingo and language, and that's just how you are, to being with other people that weren't in medicine. So I missed it just tremendously. So I was glad to be able to keep in the nursing field while I went to school. And so then I ended up going and getting my master's in rehabilitation and mental health counseling, and graduated. And then got a job as a life care planner, which I'd never heard of even what that was. I'd never heard of that. But I decided, okay, well, I'll figure out what this is. And I did a lot of research, and they asked me if I wanted to become a life care planner. And so I said, sure. And so that was another school. I had to go to like another 8 months of or so of school. And got certified in that. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I am doing life care planning, and I'm also doing counseling. At one point in time, I was teaching also. I had three jobs at once for a while, and that just got to be too much. And so now I do have two jobs. I do the counseling and life care planning. So that's where I'm at.
That's interesting that you transitioned from nursing to another helping profession. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, gee, you could have been a psychiatric nurse practitioner. And it might have been easier because you could have stayed in the field, but, you know. So. But I didn't know if there was programs were available when you went back to school either. So, because some of them are relatively newer.
Right. And I guess I just wanted to try something different. You know, some of my colleagues at the time tried to get me to go into being a midwife or a nurse practitioner. Yep. And I, at that time, it's like, oh, I don't want the responsibility. I was scared. So that was a lot of why I didn't want to do it. You know, it's a scary thing to be in charge of somebody's life.
But you are in a different way, right? Because as a life care planner, you're kind of in charge of what the rest of their life, if you know, if they're still alive, will be like. Is that correct?
Well, I can certainly help their case. That is for sure. You know, I guess I can explain a little bit to the listeners about what a life care planner is. You know, most people I talk to do not know what it is. They usually think it's a life coach or a health coach. That's typically what they think it is. But it's working with attorneys for the most part in litigation. And so once you get a case, it's either plaintiff or defense. And you then, you know, depending on what the case is, there's varying cases. They really do vary from, say, medical malpractice to work-related injuries, to motor vehicle accidents, or just accidents that people have, whether they're in an explosion or have a fall or, you know, any type of thing that can happen. Lots of things happen to people, and then they end up in litigation. So that's where I come in. So the attorney and I, then we talk about the case, and once you decide what it's about, and then they give you the records after, you know, you do all the HIPAA and all that confidentiality stuff, and just get voluminous records, medical records galore. And so you just read through those, and you come up, you know, you just start gathering data. And so as a nurse life care planner, though, I do use the nursing process in that. So, you know, I'm doing my assessment through reading the records, and you come to, you know, an analysis. You have to be very non-biased and non-judgmental. Just really get the facts and just look at it as data. Don't come up to any, you know, conclusions as to this, what should have been, what shouldn't have been. It's just the facts. It's just what it is. And so that's how I really go into these cases. And again, whether they're a plaintiff or defense, it doesn't matter. We do the same thing. And so then you determine from the records, you know, who their treating doctors are, if there's expert providers that you can consult with. You always try to consult with physicians that are on the case also. Treating physicians are great, but most of the time, they don't know what life care planning is either. And anytime they hear that word litigation or attorney, man, they do not want anything to do with it, and they're backing up. So it's a challenge to get a treating doctor to help you. You get lucky sometimes you don't. And then you just do the best you can with what you have.
Well, I think
so you do.
I was just going to say, I think so our listeners need to understand that when you're dealing with a case, you know, as myself as a nurse practitioner, and you are in an area, you're the treating provider, you're friends with the person that may be being sued. You go to dinner with them, you see them in the hospital. So sometimes it's a little bit harder for you to come after someone and talk about the standard of care breaches that may or may not be present. And so it can be a little bit difficult. And so I can understand why the treating provider may be hesitant, because in the back of their mind, they're always thinking, what if I made a mistake? What if I contributed? What if, you know? And so you worry about that. So I want our listeners to hear that providers are human, and that we, you know, we try to do the best we can. And as a legal nurse consultant myself, I try to remember that everyone is human and can possibly make a mistake. And maybe what happened really didn't impact the outcome as much as you thought it did. And that's what a great legal nurse consultant and a life care planner can help you to determine in the medical case. And same with your experts. So I'm glad to hear about you talking to experts, because as an LNC myself, having talked and read depositions from other experts, sometimes the attorney doesn't get the right expert. And so they may get a family practice. I do a lot of nursing litigation. They may get a family practice provider to say, well, this is the standard of care that would be da 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 da. And they're ones who are maybe in the hospital and rounding on patients, but they're not medical directors at a nursing home. So they don't know the difference between acute care and nursing home care. And so I think that's also important as well. And so kind of walk us through a typical case. Give us a good case example of what you would do as a life care planner to help with the case.
Okay, sure. Let's start with, well, actually I'm gonna talk about one of the points you made, because it's important that sometimes things just happen. It isn't anybody's fault, like you just said. And I think it would help if there was more people, let's just say if it was in the hospital that something happened, if they would just communicate more with the family members and just listen to them. I think litigation could be avoided, because unfortunately, sometimes just bad things happen and it isn't anybody's fault, but they're angry and they want to sue somebody. Or they want something. They want something done. And sometimes it just is a bad outcome. But all that being said, sometimes it's the other way too, and they're very justified in their case. And so that is where we come in. So basically what a life care plan does is it determines the services needed. And then the cost of those services and for how long. So for example, I'll just give you an example. Let's just say there's a medical malpractice and it's a baby case. Let's say it's a birth injury. And so that the baby lives, but has a severe birth injury, like a hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, where it affects both cognitive and mobility. And the life expectancy is probably not going to be, you know, the entire life expectancy of somebody that didn't have an injury. And so their life expectancy is shortened, but their need of care is so great. They're going to need healthcare providers, whether they are neurologists, pediatricians, maybe surgeons, different specialties, the therapies, occupational therapy, physical therapies, equipment, durable medical equipment. They might need medications. And the most severe ones, you know, they could have a G-tube, a PEG tube, a trach even. They have bowel and bladder problems. They could have spasticity and seizures, you know, so there's just a lot of medications and just such great care for these kids. Parents usually take the brunt of it. And a lot of the cost that goes into that is helping the family find caregivers for them. And then that too is a big range of, well, what are their needs? Can you just use a like a home health aide, or do you need a nurse depending on the severity of the brain injury? And so those costs is part of what I do also. And so we work nationwide. And so wherever they live is we take those local costs so you can establish what those would be from where they live. And if they live in a rural community, that's another challenge. Trying to find a nurse or a CNA in a small town somewhere isn't always feasible. And so then you price out the next town that would have those services. So you just figure out what their needs are and then cost those out. And that's a tool then that you give the attorney so that when they go to settlement or mediation, they have a value to their injury. Because that's the other thing is you need to, as a life care planner, make sure you link the injury to the foundation of the life care plan and keep those services within it. And you also involved, so that's a big report too. It's not just the services and the costing, that's just like one part of it. There's also, you do interviews, especially if it's a plaintiff, if it's a defense, you can't always interview the client or the parents or spouse. But you do an interview with them and you ask them lots of questions. You can do it by Zoom and you can do like home assessments and find out what their needs are. And then you write a report, and those two need to be very carefully written to just be very objective and non-biased. And you just basically, lay out the facts of the situation of what happened. And so in the end, you have this report that might be, well, depending on the case too, might be around, 30 pages long. So they're pretty involved. They take a long time to do. And so then you just hand over that report. And then that attorney then uses that as a tool to help them settle the case, hopefully. If they can't, then it goes to trial.
So have you had to testify at trial?
I have not. I have did one deposition. The other life care plans I've done have apparently settled, which is a good thing. I take that's a good thing because that is what you would like.
So what made you, because you mentioned that you were working for a company that trained you to be a life care planner. What made you decide to hang out your own shingle and, start going to entrepreneurship?
Oh, well, that it was because a old friend of mine looked me up and asked me if I wanted to do, if I wanted to work with her. She's back in my old hometown. And crazy, our families were friends. We both had ranches, and it's just crazy. This is crazy because Montana is pretty small, and we got two people from the same small town in Montana doing life care plans. And that's just very rare. There's very few of us in Montana that even do life care planning. And here we got two of us nurses that are from the same community. And so she reached out to me. She did not know I was doing life care planning until we met at a nurse life care planning convention, and we met up there again. And that's how she found out I was certified and doing them. And so when she was looking for somebody to help her out, she looked me up. And so that's how I ended up starting my own business. And because she wanted me to subcontract for her. So that's what I did. And that's how I ended up getting into the business.
So what were some of your biggest hurdles as going from working for someone and then becoming an entrepreneur? What are some of the biggest hurdles you faced?
Well, I had no idea how to be a business person. I've never taken any classes in business. I've never been any interest. I had zero interest in having my own business. It terrified me. I don't want to do this. And she says, well, you have to. You want to work with me, you have to. And I really wanted to work with her. So I bit the bullet. And she had a person on her team that helped me. And that's how I did it. Between her and her other person, they just gave me step by step, this is what you do, first step, and then you do this. And one of them, you know, you have to come up with a name, and then you get it licensed through the state, and then you go get a bank account in your business name, and then you get a business number, and then get an accountant, and on and on and on.
All the things that a lot of nurses don't know what to do because we've never done business before, right? And starting a new business can be daunting, but I want our listeners to hear because it can be done. And I think that's important, which is why we started the Nurse Shark Academy for that very reason, because so many nurses are like you and were like me that were like, never wanted to be in business in the first place. And, but once you experienced it, you found out, one, hey, I can do this, and two, I think it's kind of fun, right?
Oh, absolutely. I would never go back to doing anything else because I have, I'm my own boss now. You know, you always hear that. Don't you want to be your own boss? Well, I never really wanted to be my own boss. I thought I was going to be at that little town hospital my whole life. I truly thought that that's where I was going to die. And that was not the case. And so I would never, ever want to go back there. I love working for myself. I love working with my friend. We have a great working relationship. And so it, the rewards are just so amazing. I can just work when I want to, and I don't have anybody micromanaging me. I can just, I know what needs to be done. And so I just do it, and it's not a big deal. And it's, the stress level is just so much less. And I get a lot of pride out of it that I'm actually doing this. You know, I never thought I would do this. And now that I'm doing it, it's, you know, it's just something new that I've done. It's given me a lot of opportunities to do things like for one, you know, I learned how to write. I wasn't ever, you know, a writer. I was a decent writer, but you have to be a really good writer to write these reports that go to litigation. You have to have everything just so. You have to have the facts down right, and you have to be able to write so your audience is interested in reading them, and so that it makes sense, so it's logical, that it's not too technical. And so in that, then I was able to have enough confidence, I guess, to write a couple of articles for the Journal of Nurse Life Care Planning. And so I was super, super excited about doing that. That was like a goal that I achieved, and I got a lot of gratitude from that.
So how long have you been in business?
It hasn't really been all that long, maybe four years or so.
Okay. And so I noticed that you have a LinkedIn page. You don't yet have a website that I understand. But how would any of our listeners get a hold of you if they had more questions about life care planning or a referral for you?
Well, I'm also on Alignable, and then I have my email is angelnurseconsult@gmail.com, and then my work phone is 406-366-4315.
Okay. All right, and so again, that's 406-366-4315 with Angel Nurse Consult. Now, our last question that we always ask, if you had one piece of advice for a budding entrepreneur, what would it be?
Do not let fear hold you back. Just keep moving forward. Have no regrets. Find people to help you that, you know, you don't have to do this alone. It's a daunting task, especially if it's all new to you, it's so foreign. You don't have to do it alone. I would not have been able to do this alone. I needed other people to help me, and just have confidence that, you know, I can do this. Just, and yeah, don't let fear hold you back.
Well, you heard it here. Don't let fear hold you back. I think that's a wonderful advice. and also find somebody to help you. Again, that's why we have the Nurse Shark Academy, so that you don't feel like you're in business alone. You do have people supporting you and surrounding you, so we do business in community. I want to thank you for showing up, Patty, and for sharing with us all the way from Montana. I'm from Indiana, so we're, you know, we're a little bit bigger, but not much. and so I do appreciate that. So this ends our show today. I want to thank Patty for being here. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you're watching this on our YouTube channel. If you're listening to us through Podbean or wherever you get your podcast, don't forget to leave us a comment and a like. And I appreciate you tuning in to the Nurse Shark Academy show. I'm Tina Baxter, your host, and we'll see you next time. Nurses, are you ready for more? My mission is for you to own your seat at the table of nurse entrepreneurship, gaining confidence, skills, and the freedom to live your life on your own terms. Assisting you in achieving your goals through tailored advice, continuous learning, and a collaborative approach is at the heart of everything I do. Stop being eaten alive. Come feel the sun. Be a Nurse Shark.
Thank you for listening to the Nurse Shark Academy show, wherever you get your podcasts, or watching us on YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and don't forget to hit the notification bell so that you'll know when all of our episodes come out. If you want further information, you can contact us on the NurseSharkAcademy.biz.